Okay, go to the next slide. We're going to go to the message, the power of unconditional love. I believe this is a message for the church. God is calling us to an unconditional love. We're going to read the scripture together. If you can just stand up, I have two versions. Let's be on our feet and read that scripture together. I want you to read it from the translation I have there. I will go at the count of 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. For God. If you go to the second slide, let's read this amplified. Let's amplify it now. Okay, go for it. Father, we thank you for your word that is so powerful. And even as we stand in this place, we recognize that we are nothing, we are nobody without your word. In fact, we are nothing without your love. It is your love that brought us here. Your love that compels us and continues to compel us. It is that love that brings us from different corners of the world to come into a city like this with a heart to share your love with the dying world. Thank you as you make this a reality, even afresh in our lives. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We know you're already here. We ask you to speak to us. That which you have for us, that the name of God be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. So, today, I want you to take note of the word that keeps coming up there. And that is love. I know we all, a lot of times we use I love for so many things. I love ice cream. I love Laksa. I love Lechon. I love, whatsoever you love. We use that a lot. Even in the scripture, the Bible talks about different kinds of love. If you study the scripture, you see that. And we're not going to that this morning. We're not doing a study on love. Matthew, can you get that? Take note of that. We're not doing a study on love. So, spare me of the theology. But we want to talk about a particular love which I believe is very important. And that is the unconditional love. Everybody say unconditional love. Now, in fact, the Greek word for that unconditional love is agape. That is the one translated as unconditional love. In the scripture we read, in John 3:16, the word love there packs a lot of meaning. If that word is taken out of that scripture, it's like you are driving your car without gasoline. In fact, that word there, love, is the operational word. It's the one that holds the whole scripture together. And I want you to take note of that because that's very important in what we are talking about this morning. In 1 John chapter 4 verse 10, it says, and love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That which Christ came to do was to save mankind. So when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, he's talking about where you are right at this moment. Being saved, born again, spirit-filled, loving God, loving life. But that atoning sacrifice of Christ on the cross would have no meaning without the love of God in operation. How many of you agree with me? If Christ had died on the cross with hate and anger and bitterness, I mean, there is no salvation. That sacrifice is not received. That was why even on the cross, he could say, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. That's why on the cross, he could say to the guy that was beside him on the cross to forgive him and tell him, you're going to be with me in paradise today. It was because that sacrifice was being carried out with the love of God. In Romans chapter 5 verse 8, it says, but God proves his love, the power of his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's exactly what the scripture is saying here. That everything was motivated by love. The sacrifice was motivated by love. The offering was motivated by love. And this is very crucial. It's very important for us to understand that as we begin to see the power of his love operating in our lives, operating in our relationship, operating in our churches. The power of the love. In fact, when Christ was here on his earthly ministry, they questioned him about so many things. And one of the things that they questioned him was about the greatest commandment. I mean, they wanted to, the scripture says they were trying to test him. So they questioned him. If you go to Matthew chapter 22, from verse, it says, they were asking him, Master, what is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Let's say that together. Say, this is the great and first commandment. Amen. You go to the next slide, you see here, and he said, and the second is like it. No hiding place. He says, the first is it, the second is it. What do you want to ask again? The third? Okay, I'll give you the third it is. The fourth is it. I mean, I'm just trying to imagine. How many of you know imagination is important? Sanctified imagination is important in understanding the word of God. In interpreting the word of God. Don't just read it like, you know, you just imagine it. You know, and as somebody who is filled of the Spirit of God, you can have that sanctified imagination. Amen. I love to imagine. I love to interpret with sanctified imagination. Pastor Ken, am I alright?
Yes.
Okay. I have to be very careful. You know, so, in verse 40, it says, okay, and he said the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then in 40, he said, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophet. One thing that is operational in that commandment is love. So you can actually sum it up and say on love, the manifestation of love, the power to fulfill God's commandment is unconditional love. That is, if you have unconditional love, you can forgive. If you have unconditional love, you can serve God with all your heart. If you have unconditional love, you can be a blessing in the house of God. If you have, because you are not doing it for man, and the unconditional love is a love that is not really expecting something in return. Because it is done to God that has already blessed us. The Bible says we have been blessed with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Is that not so? We have been blessed. As you are now, you are blessed. Look to yourself, say, I'm blessed. Amen. So, that is very important to take note. You are not going to rise any higher than your love work. You are not going to rise any higher than your love work. That is very important. And the power to love can heal. It can heal you. You know, I've known people who are suffering from some sickness, and when you go really deep and you see that they are living unforgiveness, they have a lot of unforgiveness, a lot of bitterness, and the moment they are released from that and they begin to love, boom, healing comes. I'm telling you. It can bring restoration. It also actually helps your prayer to be punchy. A lot of us will love to pray. I mean, I love to. I mean, if you come to our church, if you attend the prayer meeting, woo, it's shaking. You know, I mean, everywhere it's moving. But without the love of God in operation, all that is noise making. It's noise making. And God doesn't want us to just make noise. You know, I mean, we're going to read that scripture. You know, the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And when it talks about without love, we're like a sounding gong. You know, in that particular scripture, what was happening, because you see, the scripture is not written to you. It's written for you. You know that? It's really, I mean, were you alive when the scripture, I mean, we were not there when the scripture was written. But it's written for us. Now, what was happening then is that in those days, there were a temple where they worship idol. And in order for them to get people to come to the temple, they have a gong. You know, a gong is like something you make noise, like a bell. And they'll just keep beating that gong in order to bring attraction. But that is almost saying, well, why do you have to do that? Because it's empty inside. Because there is no power inside. But for the things of the kingdom of God, it's not like that. Amen. Okay, don't let me go into that theology because we have some bright minds here. I tell you, I mean, Pastor Ken is a bright mind. He's a thinker. He's a very strategic man. And so we have to be very careful when we are talking about this thing. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 in the Amplified. It says, for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. I mean, that is, for me, a powerful statement. It says, everything that we think, oh, we're Christians, oh, we are followers of Christ, oh, we're this, oh, we can speak in tongues, oh, we can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, we can do all that, you know, we can quote it, it says, it means nothing. We are people of faith, we can move mountains, you know. It says, it means nothing. It says, but only faith activated and expressed and walking through what? Love. Say it together with me. Through what?
Love.
Through what?
Love.
That's it. The power of his love. You can have everything, but it says, even if you have faith to move mountain, it can be activated. It cannot be expressed. It cannot be effective if it's not walking through love. You see why love is so powerful? The church is the only group of people that has this love. It's not United Nations. It's not, where is the love? Where is the love? That is not, I mean, let them sing it. They can sing it. It's not, that's not it. It's the church of God. So we see here, your faith walk can only be as effective as your love walk. The church, which is where the disciples of Christ, will be known by the love we have for one another. In John chapter 13, verse 35, he says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have a great worship, if you have great songs, if you have great preachers, if you have great venue, if you have great, is that what he says? No, he says, if you have love for one another. That's powerful. I don't know how church can exist without embracing this. Really. I mean, just hold on a moment. Just think about it. We want to be the light. want to be the salt, want to be bring the gospel to the dying world. We are so excited to do that, but we neglect the same thing that actually propagate and actually promote and actually show us as the vessel. We leave that. We say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm mad. I don't care, you know, what they say. You know, he's offended me. She's offended me. My marriage, my wife doesn't respect me. My husband doesn't love me. I'm going to quit. We just see so many things in the church of God. And we expect the world to see us. It says, this is how they know us. And we wonder at times, why are we not breaking through in this world? Why are we not? Because nobody wants to belong to a place where that is not oppression. Say by the love. I say by the love. Amen. Only two people. Don't worry, I'm secure. You should be very sure of that. You know, because, you know, I'm from Africa. I'm from Nigeria. I've been in many parts of the world. I lived in Europe for 6 years. And somebody looked at me. They said, how did you survive here? You know, we feel discriminated. We feel they don't. I said, I didn't feel that. I mean, really? Sincerely speaking. So, that's not part of the message. You know, I can go a bit out of. One of the ways I want to live with you today, how can you express love? How can you live this life we're talking about? And that is forgiveness. Everyone say forgiveness. Where there is love, there is forgiveness. And where there is forgiveness, there is love. I want to read a couple of scriptures and then we're going to do a practice and we're going to pray. I believe forgiving one another is one way we can express love. Not gossiping is one way we can express love. Not slandering ourselves is one way we can express love. No revenge is one way we can express love. I believe that. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Basically, it's impossible. He says, just forgive anyhow and anytime. That is the hallmark of a believer. That's the reason why we are believers. The Bible says God forgave our sins. He blots it away and remembers them no more. So the hallmark is, wow, how can he do that? How can she do that? Oh, she's a Christian. Oh, wow, no wonder. No wonder. And they want to say, well, I think I have to come and be a Christian like you too. Because I can't forgive him. I don't know how to do that, but I can see you're doing it. And in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, and Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. I love that part of the scripture. But if you stop there, there's a problem. I mean, I love that part because, I mean, it's talking about great things. You know, you speak to the mountain. How many of you have spoken to the mountain and the mountain skips and goes to the sea? I mean, really literally. But I know you've spoken to some mountains in your life. But it says, as good as that is, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. What did he see there? Forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Forgive. Very key point there. It says you can say to the mountain, it will be moved. But you see, he said, when you come to that place of communicating with your Father, you have to be on the same wavelength with Him. He's a forgiving God, and He expects you communicating to Him to live in that light. And take note, I'm not saying perfection. Nobody's perfect. I mean, do I still feel angry or mad with people? Yes. Do I at times feel tempted to hold bitterness against somebody? Yes. Amen. See, especially when my wife is telling me the truth, you know. I say, oh, don't tell me that, you know. We're not talking of perfection here. This is the real deal. It says that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. I'm quoting this from the New Testament. It says, leave your gift. Go and reconcile with your brother. What he's basically saying is not that you should leave it on that place and run to your brother. You can right there at that point repent and release so that you can receive the blessing. Because unforgiveness actually has a lot to do with you than with the person. You know, we think we are projecting it on somebody, but really we're blocking the flow of the blessing of God in our lives. There's a story in the Bible, the story of Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery. First, he was thrown into the pit. Then he was sold into slavery. And in slavery, he met opposition. He was thrown into the prison. And in prison, he eventually landed as the prime minister of Egypt. And you can see in the story of Joseph that I'm not sure, he might probably battled unforgiveness, but he never saw that came out of him. I mean, yeah, you feel offense at times. Why did they throw me in prison? I didn't do anything wrong. But you can see that love and forgiveness was operational in the life of Joseph. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, we see that brought to light. When his brothers came and he had to confront them, and they came and they were begging, this is what Joseph said. He said, but as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many. What was Joseph saying? He said, I've forgiven you a long time. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. At times, we don't know whether even that offense that we are taking or that situation that we have held on to, we don't know that maybe releasing that, forgiving the person, if it's an individual, if it's your partner, if it's your leader in church, because I'm sure this man has offended me many times too. Whoever it is, if it's your church, to release them in order to fulfill this. It says the reason why I'm having to see the salvation of my family and many people around me is because I've already allowed it to go. I've released them. It says to bring about, as it is today, the salvation of many. A lot of people hold churches in offense, in bitterness, in anger, and they don't know that they are blocking the flow of God's blessing for the salvation of the nation. And they are saying, where is salvation? When are we going to see this nation saved? Yeah, release. It says, through offense, we can block the flow. And Joseph said, as a result of me releasing it, there are many salvations. There are many salvations. God will help us in Jesus' name. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 7 to 8. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sin. Now, quickly, the conclusion. The question is, if you have one life to live, how would you live it? That's the question. If you have one life to live, how will you live it? Let's chorus it together. Love. If you have one life to live, how will you live it? If you have one life to live, how will you live it? L-O-V-E. Let the church of God arise in love. Let us begin to see that love bring about increase. Amen. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Can we just rise up? We're going to open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Open your Bible. If you have iPad, I think if you have your electronic Bible, open it to ESV. We're going to read a verse each, and we're going to start from this gentleman here. What's your name? Trent. We're going to start from Trent, Jen, Astage, I don't know his name. Okay, I'll leave you guys. Okay, you, and then, what's your name? Mario. And then? Actor. Hector. Okay, I thought, you look like an actor. So that was all I thought. I thought you're an actor. Okay, we're going to go like that. I'll leave you guys. And then we go, Mike, and then by the time it's finished, that is it. Are we all ready? ESV. You read verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, 11, 12, 13. ESV. Are we all ready? Are we all ready? Okay, you pass the mic. I'll give the mic to you. Okay. Are you ready? Okay. You ready
with the mic? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am noisy gong or a clanging cymbal.
And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing.
If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burnt, but have not love, I gain nothing.
Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant
or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful.
But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers.
Love bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, endures all things.
Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away.
For we know in part and we prophesy in part.
But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away.
When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways.
For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known.
So now faith, hope, and love abide. Abide these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. The greatest of this is love. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just feel God is ministering to us in this place. Let the Holy Spirit just touch you right now. Let the Spirit of God flow through you. I know it's not easy, especially in a church where you have so many people. There's bound to be offense. There's bound to be things that will make us struggle with love. But God is just showing us a more excellent way. God is showing us a perfect way. God is showing us how we can have breakthrough in our life, in our marriages, in our homes, in our career, in our church. How we can have breakthrough in this land. There is no other way other than what we've been talking about, the love of God being displayed. So help us, Holy Spirit. Even we acknowledge we are struggling. We acknowledge at times it's hard. But we trust you because you said if we give all to you, you can take it and take care of us. I pray, Lord, this morning, we rise up from this place with full conviction and full assurance of your love for us. In Jesus' mighty name.